Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Jonathan Brule, and this morning's conversation is with Elaine Duke, Chief Procurement Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel, Director of Homeland Security Services at IBM. Elaine, though some folks may be quite familiar with other governmental business functions, such as finance, accounting, information technology, perhaps you could provide us with an overview of the procurement function. Specifically, what are the key elements of acquisition management, from front-end solicitation to the post-award, and how does the procurement function fit into it?
Well, first I'd like to start by setting the basis for where procurement fits in the acquisition cycle. So acquisition is a much broader focus than procurement. Acquisition is from the point that a business or a department determines that there's some type of mission that needs to be filled, and it's going to be filled through a partnership with industry. And it goes all the way through the life cycle of a service or product through disposal. So there's many career fields that are related to acquisition. The most significant that we hear about often are program management, logistics, test and evaluation, systems engineering. But I know you want me to focus on procurement, so that's what I'll do this morning. Procurement function is really the business deal. Within Chief Procurement Office, we have three priorities. The first one is to build the acquisition workforce, key to us. The second two really summarize what a contracting officer or procurement person does. The second priority we have is making a good business deal, and the third is contract administration. So the making a good business deal, that's making sure that we have not only the right price, but the right intellectual property, the right technical requirements, just looking at every aspect of the business deal. Are we making the best choice to fulfill that mission through an acquisition? And then contract administration really is everything from the minute the deal is signed through closure of the contract. It includes changes to the contract, in many cases, a series of negotiations of tasks and changes. The skills we need to accomplish these, one is to be analytical. I think it's important to have quantitative skills. Effective communication is critical. Good organization and time management. And another one is to be able to be independent enough to be making good decisions, yet being disciplined enough to be able to operate in a functional area that does have a myriad of statutes, regulation, and public policy initiatives.
What exactly does a DHS contract specialist do? I mean, could you give us a picture of the actual tasks or the cross-disciplinary work performed by a contract specialist?
Sure. A contracting officer would get a requirement from a program office, some money and a requirement. And the main purpose in a pre-award is for that contracting officer to negotiate with industry the best value or the best business deal. So what that contracting officer has to do is first issue some document that makes it clear to industry what we're trying to buy, whether it's a good or services. The second step of that, once we've made it clear to industry what we want to buy, the contracting officer gets in the proposals from industry and is the lead and the focal point for the review and negotiations. The review are generally technical, and then cost and price, and then just an evaluation of the company as a business, its past performance and its record of integrity. And the contracting officer uses a whole support system for that, the sort of selection team, but they are the one responsible for bringing the pieces together and ultimately accountable for signing the contract and executing the deal. That accountability is a huge responsibility for the contracting officer. Then once the contract's awarded, that contracting officer is making sure that all the terms, the conditions, the deliverables, the requirements of that contract are executed by the contractor. Additionally, that contracting officer has to make sure that the government fulfills its pieces of the contract, like paying the contractor on time, like reviewing the deliverables, exercising the contract options.
So, Elaine, one of the initiatives that your organization has been very visible in executing is around strategic sourcing. Specifically, you've been seeking to create savings, process improvements, increased socioeconomic participation, and really to address the three priorities that you laid out for your organization. Two of the contracts that you guys have competed over the course of the past year or so, one of them First Source and the other Enterprise Acquisition Gateway for Leading Edge Solutions, or EAGLE. And that's the last time I'll say anything other than EAGLE, because it's quite a long title. How have those initiatives gone for you so far?
They've actually gone very, very, very well. The reason behind First Source and EAGLE, and First Source is the commodities piece of information technology. EAGLE is a services piece of information technology. I think the reason they've done so well, there's several reasons. One is they really support our Chief Information Officer, Scott Charbo's enterprise architecture for the department. We are supposed to be bringing DHS into a one DHS, and it's important that our enterprise architecture is in place. You cannot have a one DHS without a good, solid enterprise architecture. The second reason it's gone well is we really worked closely with industry during the formation stage. First Source, it was a small business set aside. In EAGLE, we had two tracks, one open competition, one for small business. The use of EAGLE and First Source has been very successful. We have about 100 orders already pending right now, and we have almost 70 already awarded for a total of almost $800 million. On the First Source arena, we have well over 200 orders already awarded and another 50, 60 in play, and we have about $40 million awarded under those. So those numbers just show its success.
Now, that sounds fantastic. I know one of the creative things that you did under EAGLE was to develop a series of partitions in the contract itself for functional categories. Have the functional categories met the goals or the objectives that you had for them in terms of competition and vendor teaming?
In general, they have. One of the things that's helped vendor teaming so much is that we didn't ask primes to bring a set team. We encouraged them and evaluated them in a way such that they would bring the right subcontractor team to each project. And I think that's really helped in terms of teaming arrangements. In terms of the functional categories, that has worked very well. Having the functional category three, the independent verification and validation, IV&V, fenced off organizational conflict of interest wise has really helped in terms of dealing with that. And we're continuing to look at it. We're getting feedback from industry through regularly scheduled meetings. We meet with our EAGLE contractors, and they are actually helping us regularly to make sure we're picking the right categories as we move forward.
Let's talk for a moment about the president's management agenda. Competitive sourcing requires the expertise of the acquisition community to determine and select the best provider of commercial services. In the last OMB scorecard, DHS received a yellow rating in competitive sourcing. Could you tell us about the department's latest progress in this area and, from your perspective, why it is so challenging for many agencies across government?
Well, first I'd like to talk about our successes in competitive sourcing. For a new department, we have done quite a few federal competitive sourcing initiatives, and just over half of them have been won by the federal proposing unit. So that really speaks highly of DHS areas of that have been competed, that they were able to sustain a competition against industry. But one thing I'd like to focus on is not so much the yellow, but the purpose of competitive sourcing, and that's to ensure we get the most efficient and best, not just cost-wise, but how do we deliver our mission most successfully. And one of the things we're looking at right now in DHS is what is the right level of outsourcing. It's interesting that as we try to go green on the president's management agenda, we're getting a lot of feedback from General Accountability Office, from the Congress. Are we appropriately sourced within DHS to execute our mission? So we really have to look at it objectively and make sure that we have the inherent capabilities within the department and our partnership is with industry, but that within our department we can execute our mission.
Well, speaking of the Government Accountability Office, GAO has noted that speed and convenience, rather than cost savings, seems to drive some agency use of interagency contracting. Could you tell us how the department employs and manages interagency contracting? Do you have the internal controls in place to mitigate risks associated with such contracting vehicles?
That's interesting. That's been an area we're working on intensely, but it's also a federal issue. This is a working group under the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, Federal CAO, Chief Acquisition Officer Council, is how to do interagency contracting more effectively. And there should be, within the next couple of months, some policy guidance coming out of OFPP for the federal level. But within DHS, what we're trying to look at is there a business reason for doing an interagency agreement? In some cases, it's very, very clear. For instance, in some of the science and technology areas, if we're doing human research or we're doing a very technical area. But what our philosophy behind interagency agreements is that when Congress appropriates the money to us, we are accountable for it for the life cycle of that money. And just because we execute the mission through another federal department or agency does not relieve us of our accountability. And that's where we're managing risk. And we do have a close partnership with Department of Defense and several other agencies, but we maintain accountability for not only that funding, but accomplishing the mission. And that's our approach.
Elaine, there's been some concern over the use of non-competitive or sole source contracts throughout the federal government. Can you elaborate a little on the proper use of sole source contracts? Are they always bad? Are there times where they're good? Are there times where they're more effective?
I think that they are. There are times when they're effective. And I think that when you look at doing an acquisition strategy, part of which is should it be sole source or should it be competitive, there are many different factors. You have urgency. You have what's the state of industry, how many people are there that can do it. You have socioeconomic programs. And what I think we have to do is we have to optimize. You can't pick one specific piece of a strategy and make it the only important. You have to look at all of them and how do they blend together. The ones most used in the Department of Homeland Security would be unusual and compelling urgency or only one responsible source. And those are two of the seven reasons under the Competition and Contracting Act that we are supposed to do sole sources if it's appropriate. I think that having competition is very important, and we have a huge initiative. Our numbers for fiscal year 2007 are going to be much higher than the about 50% we got in 2006, so I'm anxious to have those published. But the one thing I would also say is there's no such thing as a no-bid contract. You might have a one-proposal or one-bid contract, but it's been interesting the hype behind no-bid. If we don't have a proposal from industry, we don't have a contract.
So you mentioned what the benefits are: speed, the ability to be able to procure a skill or a technology that is not prevalent through the marketplace. What are some of the risks of using a sole source contract?
I think the risk is: are you getting the right price? That's number one. If a company knows that you're negotiating only with them, are they really sharpening their pencil, as the cliche goes? I think the other risk is from an industrial base standpoint. If there is really is only one contractor that can perform, and it's a critical mission, supply, or service, should we be looking at how to enhance the industrial base so we're not in that risk position from a technology standpoint?
Now, one other trend in contracting is performance-based contracts, which offer money or other types of rewards for outstanding performance by the contractor. What's your view on performance-based contracts, and to what extent does DHS use a vehicle like that?
Performance-based contracts are a tool in our toolbox. I don't think they're a panacea. My opinion on this is a little in the minority. I think they are very good. I think that DHS is accurately reflecting its use of performance-based service contracts. But I think that there's some execution problems with performance-based contracts that really aren't being openly talked about. Performance-based contracts were being used on DoD installations in the 80s in terms of grass cutting and custodial services, and some of the ones where you really can articulate well a performance-based standard. And as we transition and try to use them for more mission-critical, broad-scope services, I think a lot of people are having trouble with how to do them effectively, how to really have more metrics that are meaningful, how to really give the industry the autonomy and the independence to execute just to the measures and not manage to requirement. I think oversight people have trouble overseeing that way. Oversight people sometimes want to oversee to a requirement rather than a metric. So I think there's a lot of problems in execution, and I think if we would acknowledge the problems, we maybe could deal with them a little more effectively, improve performance-based, because I think it is a good tool. It's very difficult.
How is DHS recruiting and retaining procurement professionals? We will ask Elaine Duke, Chief Procurement Officer, U.S. Department of Homeland Security, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.